Welcome to the radio broadcast of the Independence Missionary Baptist Church, which is located at 124 South Main in Forestell, Missouri. We're really glad that you're listening this morning, and we want you to know that we are praying for you, that you will find God's will for your life. We do want to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We have our Sunday school each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. And then our Sunday morning preaching service begins at 11 o'clock a.m. And then our Sunday evening prayer service begins at 3:45 p.m. with our evening worship services at 4:30 p.m. And then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. we have a midweek Bible study. And so you're welcome to come to all of these services. I know this, that if you're looking for a place where you can go and you can just learn God's Word, where you can really worship God in spirit and in truth, you will find this place at the Independence Baptist Church, 124 South Main in Forestdale. You can also go to www.independencebaptist.org or to www.sermonaudio.com/IBC. And there you will find many answers to the questions that you have. This morning, we want to look in the book of Job, chapter number 38, and verse 17, and think on this subject. What really happens when a person dies? What really takes place? The Bible says in Job 38 and verse 17, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Understand in this place that it's God that's speaking. In verse number 1 of chapter 38, the Bible said, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, these are the words of God himself. And God is asking Job, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? You see, in this passage, God is speaking to Job out of a whirlwind. Job and all of his three friends have been discussing why this supposed wickedness has happened to Job. But note in this place that the Bible says that the Lord speaks to Job only. He does not speak to any of Job's friends. You know, the fact is that God asked Job many things no human really understands. The point is that God is speaking to Job only. In answer to the question that God asked Job, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? I think we'd be good if we just answer and say, I don't know, but I know that you know. I also know today that there are many people that have come forward and said that they have been through death and that they have come back from the dead and that they are giving us a testimony of what has really happened to them when they have passed on. But I know this, that I'd rather believe the Bible than what anybody says. The Bible is our answer. The Bible has all of the answers that we need. We don't need the testimony of men. Jesus Christ, you see, he came into this world and he did all the things that his Father wanted him to do. And he was a faithful witness and a testimony of what God desired of him. And so today, we ought to take the Bible only for a guide in our life. Listen, have the gates of death been opened unto thee really? This is what Job is asked of God. Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? It is very clear in this verse that nobody understands really what happens when a person dies. Nobody. Regardless of what they say that they understand, it is absolutely true that nobody knows. All we know is that some go to heaven while others go to hell. What we do know about death is that everybody gets one, and only one. We know that death comes to people because of sin. You know, honest people die, and dishonest people, they also die. Good people die, and bad people die. Wealthy people die, if they can afford a doctor or whatever, but they still come to the place of death. And poor people also die. People with good doctors die, as well as those that have no doctor at all. You see, everybody dies because of sin. It is their own personal sin that causes them to die. It is not Adam's sin. Adam had his own sins, and he faced death because of that. We all inherited sin from Adam, who followed his wife instead of following God. That was his difficulty that led the whole human race into eternal condemnation. The Bible speaks about death in Psalms 73. The Bible speaks here about David, who is almost at the end of his rope. David is envious at the foolish when he sees the prosperity of the wicked. Here the Bible says that David looked out on the world and he saw people, and people were very happy in their prosperity. The Bible said there's people on this world today that are not in trouble as other men are. They're not plagued like other men. And it is because that they're not plagued at all that pride compassed them about as a chain. That's Psalms 73 and verse number 6. And that violence covereth them as a garment. The Bible says in verse number 7, that their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. These people even speak against God. Their language walks throughout the whole earth. The Bible says that his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. You see, there's people that say, I don't see how God knows anything at all. There's people that say, there's no gain in serving God and doing what God wants you to do, because I'm not serving God, and I've got everything that heart could wish. Actually, everything I look at is mine. I mean, I love it. Why should I even think about eternity? This caused David to have much concern about himself. The Bible said that he was plagued all the day long, and he was chastened every morning about all this. But it wasn't until David went into the house of God that he began to understand the end of people. Listen, what we said at the beginning was that honest people die and dishonest people also die. And that ends it all. People with good doctors die, and people with no doctors at all, they also come to the place of death. You know, it doesn't make a difference how much money you've got, because you're going to come to the place of death. Poor people also die. You see, everybody comes to the place of death. That's absolutely the way it is. Look in Job 21. Job here is afraid to even think as many think. Verses 1 through verse number 7 speaks about Job's great fear of even thinking the things that men say. But look what the Bible says in verse number 7. The Bible said, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. They're not chastened at all. The Bible said in verse number 10, their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. This is why that people often say to God, depart from us and leave us alone. Because what we want is for the government to give us more. We want to have our ways set in laws. Now we're living in a day, an age, where people that are very, very wicked are wanting the change of times and laws. That's what the Bible says that they're going to do one of these days. It's coming on us right now. You know, the whole thing is this, is that what really happens at death? Listen, when a person dies, their soul and their spirit goes into eternity. Their body stays here upon this earth. The body is made out of clay. It is given life. But the life is in the spirit and in the soul of the individual. Notice that the Bible states a very important fact about death. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, and verse 21 and 23. The Bible said, therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you're Christ. And Christ is God's. Notice the assurance that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian people. These people were members of the church of Corinth. And he said, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. And he mentions that the world belongs to us, that life is ours. But the Bible also says, or death. Paul is here telling them that everything belongs unto them, even death. You know, we might think that Paul is wanting to scare the people into obedience, but he's not. Rather, Paul instructs them that life as they currently know it will one day end, and that life that they now live will be changed into death. He doesn't want them to be afraid. Rather, he wants them to be encouraged. You see, our life doesn't end at death. It is simply changed from what we see now to what we can only speculate. We can read in the Bible about what happens at death. And our confidence is in the Lord and in Him taking care of us when it comes time to die. Paul also reminds them that all things belong to them. Life and death, just as things present and things to come. I think we would all do very well to understand that death is ours, just as life is ours. You see, there is really no difference between life and death, although we dread death because we just don't know what's going to happen there. And we cling to life because we think we know all about life. But every person comes to the place of death. I want you to look in the book of Luke, chapter 16. The Bible here, beginning in verse 19 through verse 31. Jesus Christ tells a story. This is not a parable. This is a true story about a rich man who died. And the story is also about a beggar who died. The Bible here states that Lazarus was full of sores. He desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And the only doctoring that he had was the doctor of a dog, because the dogs came and licked his sores. He was in a terrible shape before he died. But after he died, he was in a good shape, because after he died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. This ought to tell us this, that this life does not end at all. Listen, you might have the best of everything upon this earth, but that doesn't mean that you'll have the best in eternity. You might have the worst of everything, but that doesn't mean that you're going to have the worst of things in eternity. What makes a difference? It's the trust that we have in Jesus Christ. The Bible states here that the rich man also died, and he was buried. The Bible said in verse 23, of Luke 17, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, that's more than one, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Listen, understand that these two people, and they were real people that lived, Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man had the best of everything this world has, and he died. Lazarus had the very little. He couldn't even afford a doctor. The dogs came and licked his sores, and yet he also died. But the Bible said that the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, and he was in torments. You see, what the Bible's saying here is that there is an eternity that everybody is going to face. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, it doesn't make any difference. You are going to spend eternity somewhere. Whenever you die, what's going to happen is your spirit and your soul is going to leave your body behind upon this earth. And they'll bury your body. Or in the case of Lazarus, perhaps they just threw his body in the pit and let it rot away. Maybe they just burned it up. I don't know what they did with it. There's no concern about that. The concern is what about the person that is still there? You see, the rich man and Lazarus both lived after death, just as you will live after you die. That's the way it is. Notice that their memory is really intact. The Bible said here in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Listen, the flames of hell are very real. But the rich man remembered Lazarus, and he only wanted Lazarus to bring one drop of water, not a bucketful, not a pailful, but only one drop. That's not much water. There's no water in hell. There's no relief at all from all the sufferings and all the torments that people will go through. Listen, hell is a real place. We don't see it today. But just right after the rich man died, he was in hell. And he saw it and he knew it was real. And Jesus Christ gave us this story. It's not a parable. It's a real story. The essence of it is that there is no hope for anyone when they go into a devil's hell. There's no way they can ever get out of it. There's no way at all. What really happens at death? Understand this, that at death, the spirit and the soul of a person leaves the body behind. Now notice, in the book of Genesis 35 and verse number 18, the Bible here speaks about Rachel's death. The Bible said that when her soul was in departing, notice, in Genesis 35 and verse number 18, and it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, and there's a parenthesis, for she died, then close parentheses, that she called his name Manoah, but his father called him Benjamin. Here, Rachel was giving birth to a boy, and she called his name Manoah as she died, but his father called him Benjamin. Notice, the Bible says, it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died. This is what happens. But notice, again, the Bible said in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 21 through verse number 23, that Elijah raised a child back to life. The Bible said, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came in him again, and he revived. And Elijah took up the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Notice, in this place, 1 Kings 17, verse 21 through verse number 23, the Bible said, and the soul of the child came again unto him. You know why it did? Is because God sent that child's soul back to his body. That's right. That's exactly what happened. Elijah prayed for the soul to return. In verse 22, the soul did return. In verse 23, the Bible said that the child lived. This is exactly what happened. Notice another passage. In the book of Acts 7, in verse 59 through verse number 60. When Stephen died, he asked that his spirit be received. The Bible said in Acts 17, verse 59 and verse 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Now, Stephen was the one that was calling upon God in this place. And he was saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In other words, that he died. But before he died, he said, Lord, receive my spirit. His spirit and his soul went to be with the Lord, but his body was here upon this earth, because he left it behind. That's what's going to happen one of these days. Notice, in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 53 through verse number 55, the ruler of the synagogue's daughter died, and Christ returned the spirit to the child once again. In Luke 8, verse 53 through verse number 55, the Bible said, and they laughed him to scorn. These are people that are making fun of Jesus Christ. Knowing that she was dead, these people knew that the little girl had died, and they knew that when a person dies, they can never come back to life. What did Jesus do in verse number 54? And he put them all out, and he took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. You see, Christ commanded meat to be given, not that the soul be strengthened, but that the body be strengthened. Note that her spirit came again, showing she was indeed dead. But when the spirit returned to the body, she lived again. Look in Luke 23 and verse number 46. The Bible said here in this place that Jesus gave his spirit to God when he died. And yet his body was left here upon this earth. They buried it. But the Spirit went to be with his Father, the Bible said in Luke 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And as he said thus, he gave up the ghost. You see, this is the way that it is. That when a person comes to the place of death, that their spirit and their soul goes to be either with the Lord or goes to be with the devil. That's either one place or the other. In closing this morning, I want to read to you a small poem. It's a picture of what happens when a saved person dies. It is easy to see that the person who dies is no longer on this earth. Rather, he is in heaven with Christ. When a lost person dies, they go to hell. They don't go to heaven. At least 1,000 years after death, they will be taken from hell. They will be reunited with their bodies, and they will stand before God at the great white throne judgment, where they will be judged from the scriptures, then cast into the lake of fire, where the devil, the unholy spirit, and the Antichrist dwells for all eternity. But notice, as a person dies, there is a perspective that we have. The poem goes like this. I am standing on the seashore. A ship spreads her sails to the morning breeze and starts for the ocean. I am watching her until she fades on the horizon, and someone at my side says, she's gone. Gone where? The loss of sight is in me, not in the people on the ship. Just at that moment when someone says, she's gone, there are others watching her coming. Other voice, take up the glad shout, here she comes. That is what dying for the believer is all about. I'm glad that I'm saved today. I know that I've not been saved by any good work that I've ever done. I didn't deserve salvation when Jesus Christ washed me clean in his own blood. It's been many years since I've been saved, but I've never deserved any of that. It's by God's own good grace that he reached down and saved my unworthy soul. Listen, consider today, if you're lost, that Jesus Christ is real, that you are real, and that one of these days you will die a real death. Where will you spend your eternity? The whole thing is that Jesus Christ has shed his own blood on the cross of Calvary for us. He didn't have any sins. We were the ones full of sin. He wants us to trust in him and not trust in anything that we've ever done. Because anything we've ever done is full of sin. That's just the way it is. But today, if you're lost, we urge you just to trust Jesus Christ, knowing this, that death is coming. Again, we give you an invitation to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. If you're looking for a place that really teaches God's Word, where you can worship God in spirit and in truth, you will find it at the Independence Baptist Church in Forestdale, Missouri. Part of that is because we believe the King James Bible, and we study the Bible to find out what the Bible says. And we urge you to do exactly the same thing. But if you're missing any kind of hope or help or any kind of refuge in the troubles that you're facing, seek the face of the good Lord and come to services at the Independence Baptist Church. If there's any questions that you have, we'll be glad to answer any of those for you. Remember this, that the truth is taught in the Bible, and you need a Bible. You need to study the Word of God, and God will always reveal His truth unto you. But for now, we see that our time has gone away. But we want you to know that we will continue to pray for you, that God will richly bless and keep you and help you to understand what His Word says. God bless you.